So before I speak, I'd like to say something. That's a joke. I want to say thank you to you as a church. Thank you for all the work that you've done for this missions conference. This has been one of the best quality missions conferences that I've been in. And kudos go to the missions committee, to your pastor, to all those that helped to make this happen, and to you for showing up. You're busy people. Chinese are hardworking people, and yet you've taken time to learn about missions, to develop eyes to see the world from God's point of view. I also stand here representing your international workers in various countries around the world that Canada has sent out. When you give to the Global Advance Fund, you enable us to serve the Lord. We're able to give ourselves full time to what God has called us to do because we have funding because of churches and individuals like you. So thank you. Thank you for giving to the Global Advance Fund. And if you've never given to the Global Advance Fund, start. It's as simple as that. If you're not quite sure, talk to your treasurer, talk to your pastor, say, how can I give part of my funds so that they end up supporting our Canadian Alliance missionaries? And I'm sure your pastor or your treasurer will be able to explain and encourage you. So we want to focus this morning on our text, which was read, Isaiah, if I can just get this to work properly. It's still not working for me, I'm sorry. Do I need to point it to it? So maybe we'll just advance things manually, and I'll just say next slide, and if somebody with a technical skill can resolve the problem, great. If not, we'll just work directly. So let's go to the next slide. I will pour water on the thirsty land, streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my descendants, and my blessing on your descendants. Next slide. Who is the author of this text? Who is speaking? We know this is the prophet Isaiah. Thank you. But when this verse says, I will, is that Isaiah? Isaiah is simply the instrument that God is using. It's God who is making a promise. It's God who is saying, I will pour out water on the thirsty land. Now, how many of us have children here this morning? Your parents. You are parents. Your children may not be here, but you are parents. So what happens when a parent makes a promise? Let's say, for example, okay, this Saturday we're going to go to the park and we're going to spend some time in the park. We're going to go play frisbee. We're going to have a picnic in the park. And then Saturday morning comes around and you've got a pile of work from the office and you say to your kids, you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to go to the park. What do your kids say? You promised. Now, I don't know if the Chinese culture is the same way, but at least most families, kids, you promised. And, you know, that's a very powerful argument. When your child tells you, Dad, you promised, I suggest that you listen very carefully to your child at this point because your word is at stake. And the confidence that your child has in you is at stake. I know that there are exceptions, but we need to teach our kids the importance of fulfilling our promises. God is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. And he has said, I will pour out, or I will pour water on the thirsty land. He says it's the thirsty land or the dry ground. Now, the prophet Isaiah And the Holy Spirit, through the prophet, is ministering to a people that were very familiar with the agriculture. This was an agricultural economy. So when they talked about thirsty land and dry ground, these farmers understood perfectly what the prophet was saying. They had experienced times of drought. But this is not so much a physical drought, so much as a spiritual analogy. And so using the language that the people understood, the prophet is saying that God wants to pour out an abundant provision of his Spirit on the thirsty land and on the dry ground. You see, in this period of history that Isaiah is ministering in, it's a period where he is looking forward to a time of exile, a time of spiritual drought. There's another contemporary of Isaiah whose name is Ezekiel, and he gave a prophecy about this valley of dry bones. This is a time when people's hopes have been dashed. They're living in Babylon. They're thinking about their promise, the promised land of Israel, and they're far away in exile. And so there's spiritual drought. It's a dry time. And it's in that context that the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Ezekiel minister. And what is exactly the promise? I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. The outpouring of the Spirit of God was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. There we see that the Holy Spirit was literally poured out. The word that's used is a pouring out of the Spirit. And it's given to the offspring and the descendants of Israel. And the New Testament makes it very clear that those descendants are the true followers of the Messiah. And who are the true followers of the Messiah? Those that have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ, the promised one, the Messiah. That's for us, this promise. We are the offspring, we are the descendants. But there are parts of the world that are still very, very dry. And I'm using this spiritual analogy of drought to refer to the country of Spain. This is summertime in Spain. And if we think spiritually, or if we think of this analogy, Spain is a very dry and a very arid land, characterized by skepticism, by modernism, and by secularism. You may be thinking, it sounds like Canada to me. But although Canada does have a lot of these characteristics, there's another one that I would like to emphasize that's especially paramount in Spain: a rising anti-Christian attitude. There is this, not just this passive indifference to the gospel, but actually an aggressive hostility. And if you start sharing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it isn't just an indifference that you'll experience, but an aggressive hostility you can pick up actually very quickly. There are a number of reasons for that. Here's an interesting statistic. The top four countries with the most professing atheists in terms of percentage of their population. Number one is China. That's not surprising to you, with the degree of atheism in the history of China. Japan with 31%. The Czech Republic with 30. But here may be a surprising statistic for you. 20% of Spain, a Catholic country, is atheistic or agnostic. Fascinating statistic. Not only so, but the European country in which Roman Catholicism is decreasing the most rapidly is Spain. Probably 70% would say that they're Catholic, but that's often just a name only, just to register their children in the proper schools. But when it comes right down to their practice, it's nominal Catholicism. And you might have 10% practicing Catholicism. The predominant religion of Spain is secularism. The number one religion is football. Messi and Ronaldo, Christian Ronaldo. You know, that's the Christian Messiah. Messi, Christian. And you want to go to the sanctuaries. Well, they have 80,000 seat sanctuaries, and they're worshiping their gods, their idols, Messi and company. That's the challenge that we face in Spain. 2.5% of this new dark continent in Europe are evangelical Christian, and only 1% in Spain. 1 in 100. That compares with 7 here in Canada. They say there's 33% in the United States. I'm not sure about that. 7% in Canada, 1% in Spain. So take a good look at this map. Each one of these red dots represents a city or a town without an evangelical church in Spain. I so much appreciated the reading that was given this morning about the unreached people groups. But we do not normally think about Spain as being part of the unreached people group. But you've heard of the 1040 window? The 1040 window actually passes just south of Madrid. So a good part of Spain is in part of the 1040 window. But look up there, just north of Portugal. Look at the concentration of red dots, cities or towns without churches. And the Reformation happened in Germany, which is just over here somewhere. See that? So I don't know how familiar you are with your geography. Here's France. We all know where France is these days. There's Spain. Now, all of that is a bit of a preamble. You might be wondering, the greening of Spain, what on earth is that title all about? Well, I'm talking about a spiritual analogy where you have a time of drought, and then when the water, the spiritual water, the outpouring of the Spirit comes, there's a greening. There's a springtime that comes. And so I want to explain a little bit about that. How many of you have heard of Camino de Santiago? Can I see your hands? Is there anybody here that's done the El Camino, actually walked it? I was chatting with a lady, Catherine, I think her name is, and she said, yes, we did a good portion of that. It is a spiritual pilgrimage that many people take, where they travel basically from Roncesvalles in Spain, and they do this whole trek. It's about 950 kilometers, and they end up in Santiago. Many people, for different reasons, religious reasons, physical reasons, health reasons, whatever, make this walk. Actually, my wife and I walked a portion of it, 100 kilometers in 4 days. I actually feel pretty good about that because I'm not getting any younger. And we did 25 kilometers each day. Have you ever walked 25 kilometers 4 days? That's a bit of a challenge. And we grew to appreciate the greenery of Spain. It's a beautiful country, and especially in the northern part of Spain where we were walking. As you walk along, you appreciate a country in a different way than you're driving along. And it's a beautiful, and the greenery is beautiful. But what we're talking about here is the spiritual greening. So I'm trying to give some illustrations or some statistics here that illustrate the greening of Spain. Here's a statistic. This color represents Christian, evangelical Christians. So in 1993, there were 12,000 evangelical Christians or 165 churches. 4 years later, it's grown to 13,000 or 189 churches. And then 15 years later, we're up to 92,000 evangelical Christians with 558 churches. I just want you to see the growth or the trend that things are moving in the right direction. Here's another province of Spain called Andalusia, and the number of evangelicals in this province, and this is in the southern part of Spain, from 12,000 Christians to 14 to 42,000 in basically a 10-year jump. From 14 to 42, that's a good sign. Or the number of churches in 1999 to 266, 2002 up to 307. Then look at this jump to 699. God is doing something in the country of Spain. I don't need for you to remember all these statistics. I just want you to get the impression that And it's a true impression that God is at work and there is some growth. Here are some indications of the growth over a certain period of time of 30 years in the province of Madrid, Greater Madrid, from 18 churches to 189 churches in a period of 30 years, or 21 churches to 316 in the province of Catalonia. And there are 10 entire provinces that they didn't have any churches, but 30 years later, they have 88 churches. So these are some statistics to indicate that there is some significant growth going on. In all of Spain, you have over this period of time, in 68, 300 churches, 98, 1,667, and 2 years ago, up to 4,000 churches. And the total number of believers from 20,000 to 100,000 to 500,000. That's amazing. That's good news. And yet, 500,000 represents only 1% of the population. So this 1% that we've just got there in the last 45 years. We've got a long ways to go. So what about our part as the Christian and Missionary Alliance? What's happened over the past 35, 40 years? So we're talking now not about all churches in general, but about our church, the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Spain. So in 78, we didn't have any churches. And in 98, we had 4 churches. Today, we have 20. And the total number of baptized members, we didn't have any in 78. 98, just 98 in the year 98, and now 1,035. So we're moving in the right direction, but only 1,000 baptized believers in the alliance in all of Spain? That's not very many. Here are our churches, and let me just highlight where we work in Madrid. So this is the province of Madrid. It's also where the capital city of Madrid is. Like you have Toronto and then you have the GTA. It's sort of the equivalent there. And our particular church is Tres Cantos, which is that one in the... That purple one there is where we work. And it's that particular color because it's really an unorganized church. It's such a small church, we don't yet have enough people to be considered a formal organized church. But there you have it, the country of Spain and all of the alliance churches. So what we're going to do now is just illustrate with hopefully some more dynamic stories, because very few people like to listen to statistics. They're kind of boring. But they do prove a point. Statistics have a place. But let me tell you a little about what I've called revival mercy drops. The mercy drops are the little drops of mercy coming from heaven. You've heard of that hymn, Showers of Blessing. Showers of blessing we plead. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. So what we're talking about here are some of the mercy drops, but we're still praying and hoping for a real shower, a real downpour of the Holy Spirit. So let me give you some illustrations of these mercy drops. For example, we have FIACME. And you're saying, what on earth is FIACME? It stands for the Federación de Iglesias de la Alianza Cristiana y Misionera de España, or de España with a lisp, or the Federation of Churches of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Spain. So I believe CAMACOP is the organization of Alliance Chinese Churches in Canada, and it's the equivalent. So this is our national church. And here are some of our leaders at our pastoral retreats of FIACME. We have things like College of Prayer. We have a pastor, Fred Hartley, that comes from Atlanta, Georgia. And sometimes he sends his son and his wife, and they come and teach us about prayer. We have weekends set aside for learning how to pray. And men and women coming together, learning under the leadership of these men and women from Atlanta, and our own leadership teaching us about how to pray together. Colleges of prayer, schools of prayer. We have Muslim outreach in Spain. I don't know if your geography is clear, but Spain is just north of the Mediterranean, and on the other side is North Africa. And a lot of Muslims are coming over, and historically, Spain used to be 70% Muslim. So there's a real history there. We have a ministry working with Muslims in a concentrated part of Spain, and here's our team. The interesting thing about this team is they're not just made up of North Americans, of Canadians and people from the United States. We have a couple from Colombia that were working with us. And Marilyn's going to come now and just tell you just a little story of one of the good things that's happening there in that work.
This team is called our M team. We don't use the name Muslim just because of security reasons, because even for us in Spain, it's a little, the people coming from North Africa are a little afraid of people who are speaking about reaching out to them. So we do a lot of projects, things like women's literacy, women's language skills. They may be literate, but they don't, literate meaning they're able to read or not read. Many of the women don't read. But they also are in a new language because North Africa doesn't speak Spanish, and so they're learning Spanish or Catalan. Most of them are in an area called that speaks Catalan because all of Spain doesn't speak Spanish either. And so this group is working in the area in Catalonia, and so they're teaching Spanish and Catalan to the women. But the exciting thing is that after all their work, and they've been there for many years, they baptized 4 new believers in the Mediterranean just a month ago. That is a real step forward. When they may become believers, but they will hide their faith, especially to their families, because there's still going to be persecution. There's still going to be disowning a family member who has become a Christian, but 4 took the step of faith and were baptized in the Mediterranean just a month ago. That is something to celebrate.
Thanks, Mary. So as you may have heard, if you've been attending and participating in this conference, you know that both my wife and I are involved in leadership development. Our particular assignment is in Informa, which is the Bible seminary. And that started 3 years ago. So part of the work that I do is teach emerging leaders, work with them in different classroom settings. And my wife is involved in the administration of Informa, and she also is involved in teaching. So we work together as a team. We work very closely with Juan and Patty Zuniga. He is the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Spain, and he is also the primary leader or the rector of our Bible seminary in Forma. Real fine couple. Juan used to be my student when I was a teacher in Peru. And it's a very exciting story, which I shared with you on Friday night, about missions, the whole cycle of missions, because one of my students there in Peru felt the call of God to go to Spain, and now he's our boss. And we're working together with them in reaching Spaniards. It's an exciting story. If you want to know more about that story, I want to encourage you to pick up the most recent edition of alliance.ca. And on page 36, there's a story which describes, and this very same picture that you see on the screen, you'll see on page 36 of this magazine, which you all pick up quickly and read completely because you all want to be informed about the Alliance in Canada. Well, let's move in that direction at least. I encourage you to get a hold of that magazine. Another mercy drop, we had the trio Mar del Plata, a trio from Argentina, come and visit us in Spain, and their ministry was very well accepted. The Alliance traditionally in Spain has been led by the Americans for some reasons that takes a little bit too much time to explain, but historically the Alliance, we work together, Canadians and Americans in many parts of the world, and then there was a period of time where they decided to make each field either an American-led field or a Canadian-led field. And for number of reasons. We just felt like it was the best thing to separate the work. And so Canadians tended to not go to an American-led field, and Americans tended to not go to a Canadian-led field. Now, things are changing again, and we're seeing that there's real value in working together. Canadians, Americans, Chinese, Dutch, Colombians, Peruvians, etc. And so this is one of the reasons why many Canadians have recently been led and been working with the Americans in Spain. This is part of the Canadian team. And I just want to highlight quickly, there we are. This is the team of international workers in Spain. And these are the papaveros. All of these that I'm highlighting are Canadians. And I want to emphasize that because when you're giving to the Global Advance Fund, when you're supporting the work of the Canadian Alliance in Spain, these are the people that you're supporting. There's Rupen, his wife Lena. There are the Peters, Kim, and Kurt Peters. There's Maida. She's our field administrator and does the bookkeeping and the accounting. And then there's Gerald and Dorothy Hogenberg, who are the regional developers. And there's Brem and Donna, who are the vice president of Global Advance in our National Ministry Center here in Toronto. So that's part of the team. And last year at our field forum, which is when we get together, all of our international workers get together, we decided to expand the invitation and invite people from neighboring countries. So there we are with the whole team on the beach, receiving spiritual help and times of refreshment, times of just relax, getting away for a retreat, like your pastor will be doing this week when he goes to the prayer retreat. We also do that, have our own time of prayer and planning, and this is an indication of the large team that's at work there in Spain. Mercy Drops, Chinese. We have Chinese in Spain. They're all over the world. And there's a good number in Madrid. So here we are with a new building being dedicated in the Rio de Esperanza, the River of Hope. We also have a significant ministry, and Marilyn, if you could come and just explain quickly what's been happening. This particular, well, Marilyn, why don't you come and explain what we do with Cinderella's House?
Cinderella's House is on the southern coast of Spain, looking over towards Morocco. Many people coming across from Morocco, from North Africa, are caught up in the sex slave trade. And so Betsy Blanchard and a team, and there are two new couple that are going in to work with her. She's had one of the workers have to go home because of health problems. But she works with women and rescues them from the sex trade. And an exciting thing has happened is she's worked with two women in a residential program where she's lived with them. They've worked together at getting them discipled and trained and readjusting their thinking of the world and how that they can work at something that is honorable. And just recently, both of those women have found jobs and have been able to find housing on their own. They have actually moved away from this area, so they are no longer in the area where they would have the temptation to go back to their trade. And one has gone to Germany, and I believe the other to northern Spain. And they have both found jobs, both found housing. One has children, and they are able to support their families.
I'm sure you've heard that illustration about the boy that's walking along the beach and he sees all these starfish and they've been abandoned on the beach and he's taking them up one at a time and throwing them back into the ocean. And the beach is just absolutely cluttered with these starfish. And someone looks at this boy and saying, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm rescuing these starfish." "Well, you're not going to make any difference." And he picks up one and he throws it into the sea and it makes a difference to that one. You know, rescuing one or two women may seem, that's not very much. And when you know the statistics and you're aware of the problem, Spain has a major, major problem when it comes to the sex trade. Most people focus on Thailand or other parts of the world. Spain, it's a major issue. And the Alliance is doing something. It's small. But some of you have a keen awareness and the need for social justice and to make a difference in the social justice aspect of life. And the Alliance is recognizing the legitimacy of that ministry and gives part of our funding and part of our personnel to work in that kind of ministry. By your giving to the Global Advance Fund, you're helping to rescue a starfish. We have a new ministry that's developing. In fact, this couple, Brian and Aaron Klemmer, are joining the team. They're from the United States, and they'll be joining next month. And when we were in the ministry center this past Monday, we met with the leader of the Envision ministry in Canada and just learned about some of the vision that Envision Canada under the Alliance has for Spain. So let's conclude. This is the text that I started off with. I will pour water on the thirsty land, streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, my blessing on your descendants. I've used the analogy of mercy drops. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers, we plead. I trust that you've been encouraged, but I'd like to encourage you to keep praying and working for the spiritual greening of Spain. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. You can get one of our prayer cards. If you would like to remember to pray for us on a regular basis, chat with me afterwards. I received an email from someone in the church this morning that said, please add me to your prayer letter list. And I'm so happy that one person at least has responded. I don't expect everybody, but I'm hoping there's a few more that will actually take the time, look up our email address and our prayer card, write us a note saying, hey, I'd like to receive your prayer letter. How can you be involved? You can pray, and you can receive our prayer letters and track us in that way. You can give to the Global Advance Fund, or you can, if you have a special desire to connect with some of the ministries that we're involved in, maybe you want to sponsor a student. It costs $50 Canadian for a half scholarship, and maybe you have it in your heart to help develop the spiritual formation and the leadership development there in Spain. You could give to that. And there are a number of ways that you can also be involved by going. We have need for work teams. Maybe you have skills in things like electricity or plumbing, construction. Maybe you like to cook and you'd like to come over for a couple of weeks and serve as a cook or an assistant to the cook and help us as we train young people and have 35 kids in the house for the entire month. They like to eat. And if they don't get proper meals, they get cantankerous. Maybe you can serve. There's a number of ways. Talk to us. Send us an email. Talk to us. We'd be happy to help you to connect. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these mercy drops in Spain. Thank you for the outpouring of your spirit, which is promised. And Lord, maybe with what's happening in France, maybe it's time for a special outpouring of your spirit upon Europe. Maybe, Lord, people will realize with the fear factor, maybe they realize that because they've turned their backs on God, He is allowing humanity and individuals to go their own way. And we're seeing the consequences of that. Lord, have mercy upon Europe. Have mercy upon Spain. Have mercy upon us. And show us the part that we can play. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.